Begin the current daf, Masechet Sanhedrin, daf Lamed Aleph. Begin on the bottom of the daf, Lamed Amud Beis, six lines up from the bottom of the Amud. But the Gemara continues in the related discussion of the previous daf, discussing the inspection of the witnesses to verify that they're valid, so they would inspect them. So regarding the contradiction of the witnesses, the Gemara continues on the related theme. Amar Rav Yehuda says, Eidus hamakchesha zu ezu bebedikis. Regarding witnesses, they contradict each other regarding the bedikis. There's two types of investigations they do into the witnesses. There's bedikis and chakiris. So the Gemara of Yehuda specifically talking about bedikis, which are not one of the seven chakiris. The chakiris are what day was it, what hour it is, which the halach of hazama is dependent on that. That they have to answer the correct answer. If they contradict, then they're not valid. But regarding, let's say, about what color clothing was the individual wearing, if it was black or white, there the halacha of hazama is not pertinent to that. The person does not get huzam if he doesn't get right that article of clothing. So regarding that, if the one witness says it was black, one says it was white, kishay rebedini mamonis. So regarding monetary law, there's still going to be valid witnesses, even though he said it was a dark article of clothing and he said that it was a light colored clothing. Now Amar Rava qualifies and says, Mistaber milsed Rabbi Yehuda, it would be logical to qualify this halacha of Rabbi Yehuda, be'echad oimer ba'arniki shechayra, specifically where, if let's say one of the witnesses says that it was a black purse, be'echad oimer ba'arniki levana, one says it was a white purse. Aval echad oimer mana shachar, but if one of them says that it was a dark currency, meaning it was an old sella, be'echad oimer mana lav, one says that it was a new coin, then they would starve and then they actually would not combine, since in the primary concept of what they're testifying, which is regarding the loan of the money, in the money, which is the main thing, they're contradicted, there would make sense that Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the witnesses would not combine, even for monetary law, even though it was only akasha in the bedikas. Now the Gemara asks, so, but Rabbi Yehuda's halacha was saying specifically that, but if they contradict regarding if it's, let's say, old or new or dark or white, that would only be valid regarding, as he said, bedinim mamonis, regarding monetary law. Rava was limiting that scope, but it's a permission only for monetary law to combine them. And that is the Gemara. But what va'arndiki shechayra regarding an old purse, which even Rava agrees in qualifying Rav Yehuda's halacha, which that's not a contradiction in the primary concept of what they're testifying. It's one of the peripheral things. That you said that applies to din mamonis. But what? But din nefashos lo'i, but regarding capital punishment, if they get even that wrong, that they're not going to be able to combine together? On that, as the Gemara, but Vamer Rav Chizda said, Echad Omer b'sayif harga. If one witness says that he killed him with a sword, Ve'echad Omer b'ariran harga. The other one says with a small sword, with a dagger. Then, ein zeh nachan. That's not appropriate. In other words, this is not a uniform testimony, which they're just using the terminology of the pasuk, which says in Devarim Yud Gimel Vini Emes Nochin Hadava, it's true, it's appropriate what they're saying, which is actually from that pasuk, which the Gemara later on the Mem learns out. That's where we learn that the source of bedikas, of inspecting, of checking, of interrogating the witnesses. In other words, that's not going to be able to combine. But Echad Omer Kelev Shchayim, but if one of the witnesses says, as he's saying the narrative, he says, oh, and he was wearing dark clothing, or old clothing, the other one says he was wearing white clothing, new clothing, and it is appropriate, they will combine, even though they're saying, regarding this peripheral difference, and that they will combine. But it sounds like from Yehuda's halacha, especially the way Rava qualified it, that is only going to combine by din mamnes, not by din nefashis. So that answers the Gemara, as we continue to talk about Lamed Aleph and Aleph, Gavra, Gavra Karamas. You're asking a contradiction for one Amar and another one from Rav Chizda and Rav Yehuda? You're right. Rav Yehuda holds it's only b'din mamonis, and Rav Chizda would hold that it's even allowed to combine b'din nefashos. It's not a contradiction. They disagree. Now, the Nardayins, they say, afila echad oimer mana shachar. He goes even further, unlike the qualification of Rav. He says, even if one of the witnesses says that it was an old coin, v'echad oimer mana lav, and the other one says that it was a white coin, a new coin, it's tarfa, they will combine. Says the Gemara, come on, who is Nardoi like? If you're going to say, as a continuation of the theme of the Gemara from the previous daf, Kribi Shuban Karcha, where he said that even if two people are saying two different things, but if they're both coming out with the same basic bottom number, which is that they're both Chayav Amana, even if one guy says, I saw a loan on Sunday, another guy says, I saw a loan on Monday, those are two different loans, and you don't have two witnesses on the same loan, but the both two witnesses are saying that he owes them $100, if that's who you're saying that the Nardoi is like, where even though he's saying it's an old coin and he said it was a new coin, two different coins, but they're both saying it was a mana, so you're saying that Nardoi is like a Bishuban Karcha, but that has to Gemara. Aimer Deshamet Leila Bishuban Karcha, but where do we find Bishuban Karcha saying that even when they're saying different things, they'll combine? That's only if, they, however, they're not contradicting each other. Whereas we said before, one guy is testifying that I saw him lend him a mana, 100 zoz on Monday, and he says I saw it on Sunday. They're both agreeing that they didn't see what happened by the other one, and they're not contradicting, but they're just saying different things. But where they contradict each other, where in this case, where they're both testifying regarding the same incident, the same mana, but they're contradicting each other, he's saying, it was black, and he's saying, it was white, it was old, it was new. Me, Yama, would Rabbi Shimon Karcha say over there, where they're clearly contradicting each other, that they would combine? So Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right, who, the Nardai, is not basing his halacha in Rabbi Shimon Karcha, or rather, the Amar Ki Haitan is going like the following Tana, who says that, well, let's say one person says it was a mana, it was 100 zuz. The other one says it was Messiah, it was 200 zuz. Where they contradict each other, they'll still combine to obligate the mana, the 100 zuz, because included in 200 is 100. In other words, and we don't say that they're both lying, because one of them is, they're not saying the same thing. He says it was 200, saying 100. We say no. We go after the common denominator that they both have, which is 100, and that we're Mechayim, that's who the Nardoi is going like. When he says, even though he says it was a mana shachri, he says a mana loven, still, but the bottom line, what comes out, the common denominator of both is that there was a mana, then you can be Mechayim that mana. The time like Linda Bryson. Amr Mishim ben Lazvi says, there's no machlekes b'sham b'shil regarding when there's two pairs of witnesses. Sha'achas emeres masayim, v'achas emeres mana. One says that he owes him 200, the other one says he owes him 100. Both b'sham b'shil would agree, she'yesh b'chlam masayim mana. There's no contradiction over here that he owes him at least 100, because even the one who says he owes him 200, in the 200 is included 100. So of course he'll be chai of 100. Where do we have a machlekes b'sham b'shil? Al kat achas, in one pair, with the two witnesses in one pair, that's where we have machlekes. Where one of the two witnesses is saying it was 200, the other one is saying it was 100. There is Shabeshami Aimrim Nechelku Edusim. Beshami says, well, their edus is then split. Since one of them is obviously lying, was it 200, was it 100, so there's no more testimony anymore, and we can't be mechayev anything. No, even the one who's saying 200, in 200 there's 100. They both agree and they're both testifying regarding a mana, and it's on that mana that neither one contradicts each other. It's on the extra mana that then they disagree. But on that mana that they agree, it could be mechayim, that is exactly the opinion of the Nardoi, who is saying the same idea, although you're saying it was black and you're saying it was white, but you both agree it was mana, and that we could be mechayim. Continues the halacha, echarei mechave shal yayin. If when one witness said that it was a barrel of wine that he owed him, another one says it was a barrel of oil. Now, there was actually such an incident where they had two witnesses, and one said it was a barrel of wine, one said a barrel of oil, and they came in front of Rabbi Ami. So Rabbi Ami actually held that person that he would be liable, we're going to combine those two witnesses, to pay him a barrel of wine, migoy chavita de mishcha, from that amount of that barrel of oil. In other words, he's taking the lesser of the two and saying that amount they both agree upon. So the Gemara says, come on, who was Rabbi Ami going like? If you're going to say it's Rabbi Shimon the Lazar, who we said, not like Rabbi Shimon Karcha, because Rabbi Shimon Karcha never said when they contradict. So, okay, we'll take the last Tana we just mentioned, Rabbi Shimon the Lazar, who says even when they contradict, but the common denominator that comes out from them, that will be Mechayev. But that the Gemara says, Eimad Ami Rabbi Shimon the Lazar, when would you find his halacha? That's Hechad Yesh Bechla Masayim Mana. Even though they're contradicting each other, he's saying it was 200, saying it's 100, but at least in the 200 there is a 100. So even though they're contradicting, but on some element they agree, so there Reb Shem Lazar would hold that you could be Mechayev. But Kiyai Gabn, in such a case, when they're two totally different things, when they're totally contradicting each other, there's no like one from within the other. Here's a barrel of wine, here's a barrel of oil. So yeah, one is more expensive than the other, and you could say, let's be mechayivim, the common denominator, how much whichever barrel is cheaper than the other one, however much that amount is, but that's two totally different things. Me, Amar, did we ever find Rabbi Shimon Lazar saying it even to that extreme, when you can't even have one inclusive of the other? So Zigmar, you're right. Loit Tzricha, no, it wasn't a case of when one witness was saying it was literally a barrel of wine, the other one literally a barrel of oil. It was Lidmei. It was for the monetary value. where one witness was saying that in front of me he admitted to him that he owes him the monetary value of a barrel of wine. And the other one says in front of me he admitted that he owes him the monetary value of a barrel of oil, where both of them are agreeing in their testimony that he owes him at least the monetary value of a barrel of wine, which is cheaper than the barrel of oil. It's that where it's a monetary value. That's the same thing of Masayim and Mana, where yes, Bechlal Masayim Mana, inclusive in the barrel of oil, is a barrel of wine. And that's why the Rebami was going to give Shimon Lazar to be Mechayiv at least the minimum amount that they're both agreeing upon. Now, contagious the Gemara, Echad Eime Bedu to Hel Yoina. We're talking about discrepancies in testimony, do we still combine them? So one witness says that it was on the upper story, an aliyah is like a type of a porch that sticks out over the Rishos HaRabim on the width of the house, and the people in the street walk underneath it. So he says that it was on the upper story that he borrowed from him a mana. The other witness says, no, it was by the bottom story porch. So there's a discrepancy. So Amrav Chanina says, Maisabol of Nerebi, such an incident came from the Rebbe, Mitzir Vedusin, and he combined the witnesses to obligate this person to pay back the mana, which is like Yibeshu Ben Karchu, who, since they're both saying that he owes him a mana, even though they're contradicting in regards to the Bedikais, which are just general questions regarding getting the facts straight, which was like a Yehuda who says that even Edom, who contradict each other by these random questions, not the Sheva Chikiris, that they do combine for monetary law. The Gemara continues explaining the Mishnah that said, Uminayin l'kshayetze v'chulu, it says, when it was talking about the proceedings of a court case, and how do we know that when the court case is over and the judges are leaving, that they shouldn't say, look, I tried to exonerate you, I tried to win it for you, but my colleagues, they outnumbered me and they said that you're guilty. How do we know someone shouldn't say that? So the Gemara quotes a brisa that elaborates. Time about Linda brisa. Minayin l'kshayetze, from where do we know that when the judge is leaving, lo yemar, he shouldn't say, hareini mezaka, v'chaverim mechayavin. Look, I found you not guilty, but my friends, they found you guilty. And therefore, aval ma'asa, what should I do? Shechavei rabulai, my colleagues, they outnumbered me, and that's why you were found guilty. But I tried to find you not guilty. Tamalema, we know that from the pasuk in Bayikra that says, leisilich rochel b'mecha, there's a prohibition of being a reichel amongst your people, which includes gossip and slander. Now, but v'aybim, moreover, the pasuk says in Mishlei, haylich rochel, who's considered someone that goes and is a reichel? Is Megalasai, someone who reveals a secret. So just even revealing a secret, not saying anything necessarily bad, revealing a secret which is not something that someone would necessarily want to be said, is forbidden to be said. And the Gemara actually illustrates the extent of this. Hahu tamid de nafig alei kala, there was a certain student that the word got out about him. The goli milsa de itma be medrash, that he had revealed something that was said in the Beis HaMedrash. Baser estrin v'tartin shnin. After 22 years that it was said in the Beis HaMedrash, and Afki Rabbami be Medrash, and Rabbami sent him out of the Beis Medrash, this student, because of the Lashon Hara that he had said, Amar, he said, Den Goli Razi, this is something that reveals secrets. Imagine, a secret that was held for 22 years, and he finally said it. He said that still, that's something inappropriate, that's considered, as we said, a Reichel, who is Megal Asayid, and therefore he sent him out of the Beis Medrash. Mark continues with the next Mishnah, continuing on regarding the proceedings in the court case. So regarding somebody that comes to a Beis Din, to a court, and he didn't have his documentation to win the court case. So he ended up walking out guilty. Now, at a later point in time, he finds the documents that would show that he was really right, and he brings it back to court. Says the Mishnah, Kol zman she may be right, as long as he brings a proof, so then they'll demolish the verdict that the court had originally passed against him. And then, now that he brings in the new documentation, they'll go and turn over that court case and then find the other one guilty. Now, however, the Mishnah continues with certain machlokes, however. Amar loiv, let's say the court tells that guilty party, kol raya sheyesh lecha, look, you claim that you have documentation, you have proof, whatever proof you have, havi mikana shleshem yam, you got to bring it within the next 30 days. Says the Mishnah, says the Tanna Kamma, matzah b'toch shleshem yam, says if he finds the documentation within the next 30 days, so then they could turn over the verdict. La'achar shleshem yam, says after 30 days, then you had enough time to do your due diligence. If you couldn't and you didn't, after 30 days, we don't trust you. We suspect you already that it was something that was forged, that was made up, and you can't turn it over anymore. Which Amar Pshim Lil, he says, why? What should this guy do? Because he didn't find it within 30 days. He found it after 30 days. Why is that a problem? And therefore, he disagrees. He says, even if he finds it 60 days later, 90 days later, it's a real document, and he could turn over the verdict. Next case. Amar loy, if let's say the court tells him, Havi Eidim, so bring witnesses. Vama Ein Li Eidim, he says, I don't have witnesses. Amar Havi Rai, they say, okay, bring proof, bring a document that will prove that you're correct. Vama Ein Li Rai, he says, I don't have any documentation. Ula Achaz Man Hevi Rai Yemotza Eidim, and then guess what? Sometime later, he comes with witnesses, he comes with a proof. Says the Tanakam, Hariz Ein Klum. So that's nothing. He already said, I don't have, and what's he doing bringing now? We suspect that this was forged or he hired false witnesses. Where again, Rav Shimon Gamliel, he disagrees. He says, why? What should this guy do? He didn't know he had witnesses. Umatz Eidim, he found, you guys were there when that happened? Come, I need you guys. He didn't know that he had a documentation, and he finds out that he had. And therefore he disagrees. He says, if he ultimately finds, he could use it to turn over the verdict. Now those are two cases that there's a machlekes of Shimon Gamliel and the Tanakama. But in this third case, everyone agrees. Rosh Mischayev Bedin. So let's say he sees that it doesn't look good. He's about to be found guilty. V'aman, he says, Kirvu Pleni, Pleni V'yodini. Oh, so let those two guys come and they'll testify for me. Or Shahitzi Rai Metachas Pundasai. Or when he sees they're about to say guilty, he suddenly whips out from underneath his belt a document showing that it's totally his right and that he wins. Says the Mishnah, everyone agrees, Hareza and the Klum. So that's nothing. Even Rav Shimon Gamliel would agree. That since this guy knew about this document under his belt all the time, he knew about these witnesses, and he never said anything about it. All along he said, I don't have. So it's only because he sees that he's about to lose that he pulls out and says, let me do this now as a last ditch. And obviously they're lies because he would have brought it out if it was truth. And therefore everyone would agree that it's nothing, it's not valid, and we suspect that it's a lie, and therefore he can't use it. So Amar Abba Bar Avuna says to Gemara Halacha Rav Shimon Gamliel, Halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, which is going back on the first of the three cases, meaning from the first of the two cases that he disagrees with the Tanakama. And that is, since he didn't say, I don't have, even though the court said, look, you got to bring it within 30 days, and he doesn't bring it within 30 days, but so it's just because he didn't find it. There's no reason for us to suspect, says Rav Avuna, that he's lying, and therefore Halacha follows Rav Shimon Gamliel that he could bring it even after day 30. Now, moreover, Rabbi Avuna also says that in halacha k'devar chacham, halacha does not follow the chacham in this halacha. I think that's pshita. It's obvious. Kivan dam halacha k'devar chacham. Since you already said halacha k'devar chacham liel, memeli yadana din halacha k'devar chacham. So obviously, I know that halacha is not like his dispute in the chacham. Says the Gemara, no. Ma d'tem, what would you think to say hanemi liketchila? That it's only initially if the court goes with the halacha liketchila initially should be like Rav Shimon Gamliel that the guy could bring in evidence even after day 30. Aval the eved, but if let's say after the fact, let's say they don't go with Rav Shimon Gamliel, they do follow the chachamim after the fact. In other words, and they don't let this guy bring in his evidence after day 30. I would think to say shaber dami that would be okay because although we follow Rav Shimon Gamliel, but the chachamim disagree and they're the majorities. So if you ended up doing like them, although halacha is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, maybe we would allow it. That's the chiddush why we needed both statements of Rabbi Avuna, the i'avad, that if the court does like the Rabbanon, mehadrinli, we overturn that and we don't allow that to stay. Rather, we said, no, this guy's allowed to bring in his evidence even after day 30, even after you follow like the Rabbanon, and we would overturn that verdict. That's where I have to say the halacha is not like the chacham. Now, the next case of their machlaik is Amar Allah, if let's say the court tells him, Havi Eidim, bring witnesses. And he says, I don't have witnesses, bring evidence, I don't have evidence. So there we had the machlekes Tanakama Rav Shimon Gamliel. Tanakama says, okay, he said he can't, and now he does, we don't believe it. Rav Shimon Gamliel, he said, no, what should he do? He didn't think he had, now he does, we do believe him, etc. Now regarding this machlekes, Amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, Amar Bi'ichad, and he says, halacha k'divrei chacham, hid halacha is like the chacham, and which is that he cannot bring it anymore. And also, v'amar Rabbi Bar Avuna, Amar Bi'ichad, he says, ein halacha k'divrei chacham, halacha is not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Which again, we have the question, pshita, obviously. Once he says halacha like the chachamim that he cannot bring in, after he says he doesn't have, obviously then I know that halacha is not the disputant who said that he could bring in even after he says he doesn't have. Now here Rashi points out, here you cannot say an answer like we said regarding the previous question to say, oh, maybe because you would think to say that if you did like Rav Shimon Gamliel b'dieved that it would be okay, and that says Rashi no, because in the previous case, there we would say that if we wouldn't have said over in halacha kechachamim, so I would have thought to say that yeah, e'avad le'madrinan. If we did like the Rabbanan, okay, we wouldn't overturn that. Why? Because the strength of the majority opinion that Chachamim is something that we always usually hold sway. So although we say halachas Rambam in this case, but okay, but the Yevu would say you can do like Rabbanan. But over here, once you're saying the halachas like the Chachamim, it's obviously if you do like the Das Yachid, like the individual who disagrees with the Rabbim, that of course we would overturn them. Therefore, what's the necessity of saying halachas not like Rambam Leel? Which the Gemara answers, Hakam Ashmalan, this is what he was adding on by saying Ein Halacha Kirb Shigm Leel, to say that Dibahi, because only in this case is Ein Halacha Kirb Shigm Leel. That's what he was coming to say by saying the Halacha is not Kirb Shigm Leel, to say because this is the only exception in Halacha. Habakulu, because actually everywhere else that we have the opinion of Shigm Leel, Halacha Kirb Shigm Leel, Halacha falls like him, even as we'll see shortly in the case of Ariv and Sidon. What does that mean? Because Lafuki Mohad Amar Rabbi Rabbi Chana Amar Biyechna, which is coming to exclude from a different Amar in the name of Rabbi Yechna, that of Rabbi Rabbi Chana, that he said Kamakam Shoshana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'Mishna Seinu. He said that wherever we have the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnayos, Halacha Kamaisa Halacha Falsa Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, Chutz Mi Ariv, except for the case of the Guarantor, which is a Gemara in Baba Basar Kafayin Gimel Mabez, the Tzidin, which is the name of a place, the Sugi Masechtas Gitnaf Ayin Dalman Aleph. And the last halacha of proof, which is really the second case of our Mishnah, that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Tanakama, because as we said, the first case, actually, halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. When they just said, bring in 30 days, and they didn't say anything, and they only brought on day 40, they would say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. But the last halacha of proof, which is when he says, I don't have proof, and then he brings it in, that's where halacha is not like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What Rabbi Bar Avuhna was coming to do was to say that only in the Roya Achrayna, in the second case of our Mishnah that I just used the time to come is Halacha like B'Shem Gamliel. But in the cases of Arvid Sidon, Halacha is like B'Shem Gamliel. And the reason that's why he said this to exclude from Rabbi Bar Chanan and Rabbi Yechanan, who said no, Halacha is not like B'Shem Gamliel in three places, including Arvid Sidon, and Rabbi Bar Avuhna was saying no, only in one place, only in the second case of our Mishnah, but in Arvid Sidon, Halacha is like B'Shem Gamliel. Like Gemara brings an incident related to these halachas. There was a certain child, the Tavu Ladina Kamidra of Nachman, that was brought into court in front of Rav Nachman, where it was claimed that he owes an individual money. Now, Amalei Islach Sahadi, so he asked the child, Do you have witnesses? Amalei Lo, he says, no. Islach Araya, do you have proof? Amalei Lo, he says, no, I don't have any documentation. So Chayver Rav Nachman, so Rav Nachman held him liable to pay because he had no proof. Now, have a Kabachi Ba'azal, the kid was crying and going. So certain people overheard this kid crying. Amrali, they said to him, what happened? Oh, that court case? Anonadina b'mil davach. We know certain things about your father's estate that we could prove that was really yours and you don't have to pay to those individuals. So Amrav Nachman, he says, Baha afil Rabbanan moidu. In this case, even Rabban would agree, although they said that once a person says, I don't have, he's not believed to go ahead and now bring evidence. Here they would agree that you could be Saisr Dina, that you could come back and bring evidence. Because a child regarding his father's estate doesn't know. And therefore it doesn't prove and to suspect to say, oh, it must be a forgery. You said you don't, now you bring it. No, he didn't know. And therefore when the other people tell them things that he never knew, he could bring it back into a court of law, even according to Rabbanu. Another halacha with Rav Nachman. There was a certain woman that had a document that she was holding onto in her hand, meaning because the borrower and the lender both trusted her as a third party to safeguard that document. And Amr Lay, she said to him, meaning into the court of Rav Nachman, Yidana b'hai shtar de perihavis. She says, I know regarding this document that it was paid up already, meaning in favor of the borrower, and that it's not owed to the lender anymore. So says the Gemara, Hebner Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman believed her and trusted her, and based on what she said, didn't allow the lender to collect from that document. Now on that, Amr Rav Nachman, so he asked him, come on, so who are you going like? Karebi? Are you going like Rebbe? Do Amar Oisius Niknis B'Mesira? Like Rebbe, who holds that letters, meaning words, meaning a document which has words in it, can be acquired just by handing over the document. In other words, when someone sells a shtar chayiv, a document of debt, to his friend, he acquires the debt with just the handing over of the letters, meaning of the actual page of the document itself, which this teaching of Rebbe is in Baba Basta of Ein Vav Medalev. So essentially what Rav was telling Rav Nachman, is that what you're saying over here also? That the woman, she acquired the shtar chayiv because it was given over to her, and just by holding it, it's like hers, and since it's hers, she's believed to say that it was paid up already. Is that why you're saying that you trust her and believe her? And that Amalei, Rav Nachman said to him, no, I'm not necessarily going like Rebbe. Shanihach, here it's different. Di ibay kalsi. She has a migui. Since she could have burnt it, So she could have done something to anyways neutralize it and to get and to void it. She could have just burnt it. No one know the better because there's no document here anymore. And she didn't, but at least let us believe her when she says that anyways it's neutralized because it was paid up, because she anyways could have burnt it, and that's why I believe it. Not because it's hers, because she acquired it like Rebbe the Nicknes by Mesira. No, it's just because of this migui. That's one version of the incident. Those that say Lohem the Rav Nachman. Actually, Rav Nachman did not trust it, did not go based on what she said to consider this document as if it was paid up. On that, Amalei Rav Lev Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman, but if she wanted to, as we continue in Damad Beis, Kal say, she could have burnt it. And therefore, as the first version had Rav Nachman saying, here in this version it's Rav asking Rav Nachman, this is known as a Migo of Malo L'Shaka. Why should she have lied? She could have done it anyways to neutralize it. So if she didn't, at least let us believe her because she could have. So that Rav Nachman responded, it says, no, Kivin D'Ischazik B'Beidina, since this document has been already established that in the court, because it has a henpik written in it, which is a certification of the court saying that this is a valid document, to say this migu that if she wanted to, she could have burned it, that we don't say because we cannot believe her, although she has a migu, we cannot believe her claim to be so strong to uproot a maisa bezin, an act of the courts, which the courts have already validated this document. So that's a high, strong level of certification. She, with her migu, cannot go ahead and undo that. Yeah, she could have burnt it, and then we wouldn't have been any better. But now her migu cannot go ahead and allow us to believe her keneged the chazaka of this hempik, of the certification of the document. However, on this, Eisvei Rav Lev Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman for the following brisa. Simfin, which is a receipt that the borrower is holding as he always does to show that he had already paid up to the lender, Sheyeshalav Edim. If the receipt has witnesses on it, we've certified that this Mr. Leva paid up Mr. Lender this amount of money, so then Yiskayim, so then you go ahead and you verify this receipt, Bechesamav, with its signatures, meaning the witnesses testify regarding their signatures that it's them, and that will validate the receipt to prove that it's a valid receipt and that for sure, even if the lender contests it, that he paid him up the money ready. Let's say Einol Avedim. Let's say there's no witnesses on the receipt. But V'yotze Mitachas Yidei Shlish. But it's not actually the borrower that's holding onto the receipt. Actually, it's a third party that's holding onto it. Now, since both the lender and the borrower agree that they appointed this third party to hold onto this document, so that is, it's going to make it kasher. Because we trust that third party to say that this is a valid receipt and that it was paid up to the bar already. Or in other cases, sheyatza achar chitin shtaris. If the receipt was actually on the document itself, the loan document, after the signatures of the witnesses, it has that, it says over there that he paid up a receipt, meaning in the shtar hamilva, it says that he paid it up underneath the witnesses. In both of these cases, kosher, the receipt is going to be valid because, in this last case, the lender himself is the one who holds on to the shtar hamilva, to the loan document. And if the borrower had not paid him up, he would not have allowed them to write a receipt on that document itself. But one thing says Rav to Rav Nachman, Alma, what you see from the first of these last two cases is a shlish mehemen. A third party is trustworthy to say that this is a valid receipt, even though the document is a shtar muchzik, even though it's something that was certified in a court of law, and we believe the third party, which contradicts what you were saying, that you said that since it's this chazik b'beidina, we don't trust the third party to say that it was paid up, that the receipt is valid. So I was like, well, you're right, Tuyufta, Rav Nachman, Tuyufta, this is a refutation, at least according to the second version of Rav Nachman, who said that the third party is not believed. Here we see clearly that third party is believed to say that it was paid up. Now the Gemara continues on these halachas that we're discussing, and says what the halacha is regarding the smachleikis, Rav Shimon Gamliel and Rabban our Mishnah. Rav Dimi came, he said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, La'olam may be Raya B'Saisa. An individual, a litigant, could always bring proof, even after the court case was over. He could bring evidence and undo the verdict. Achi Yistatim Tanaisav, until his claims have been subdued, meaning, which that sounds like, that he said in court that I don't have any witnesses, I don't have any evidence. Nah. And then, the Yomer, and then he says, Kirvu Pleini Pleini Ve'aduni. And he also additionally says, oh, let that and that person come and testify for me who were already prepared a long time ago. And however, he had already said beforehand that I don't have witnesses. So until that point, when he says that, then he can't bring any more. But up until that point, he could continuously bring evidence and witnesses. That's what Rav Dimi said in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. The Gemara is Haguf Akasha. There's an internal contradiction in this statement he's saying over in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. Amrit, you said there's two parts to the statement that you said that, oh, when he makes that claims, then he can't say anymore. Amrit, you said Yistatim Tanoisa, that his claims have been closed. Meaning that sounds like that since he closed his case, meaning he said, I don't have any more proof, then even if you'll find it at a later point in time, then he can't bring it anymore. Well, Asar and Rabbanan, that's like Rabbanan, which we had that Machlekes in the Mishnah, when he says, Ainli, that it sounds like that the Rabbanan said that he could still, that he can't bring, Rabbi Shimon said he could bring. So by saying, Achei Tatum Tanaisav, that sounds like Rabbanan. V'hada Amr, then you say that he says, Kirvi Ish Plenu Plenu Ve'aduni, oh, and let that and that person come and testify for me. Which that sounds like that only in that case he can't bring any more evidence. Because that case, even Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, we said in the third case of the Mishnah, he agrees over there. But if let's say he's not saying about people that were always there, like whipping out from underneath his belt a document, just he finds them at a later point in time, that would sound like that he could still bring them. Well, Asan Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, that comes like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. So how do we understand this statement of Rav Dimi? It's like internal contradiction. Yistatim Tanoisav, it sounds like he says Ainli. That's enough to say he can't bring anymore. That's like Rabbanan. But then saying that it's only when he says Kirva Plenya Plenya Beduni, who are here already, that's even Rav Shimon Gamliel. So on that, the Gemara says, V'chitem, and if you're going to say, oh no, Kula Rav Shimon Gamliel. This Rav Dimi saying over there, Rabbi Yechanan, was all going like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Or Perushik or Mefarish. It's just explaining, meaning it's not two different lines. My Achi is Tatan Tan. They said, what does it mean until he has no more claims anymore? Achi Yoyme Kirva Plenya Plenya Beduni. It's until he says, that bring that and that person who were here all along and let them testify. Here all along? You knew this all along. Why are you waiting till like you see you have no more choice? Obviously that's a lie. That even Rav Shimon Gamliel agrees. If that's what you're trying to say, Rav Dimi says name of Rabbi Yechanan, but the Gemara says that can't be. Because of Amar Rabbi Bar Bachan Amar Rabbi Yechanan, we have a different teaching from Rabbi Yechanan that says, Kalmakim Shashana Rabbi Shimon Gamliel b'mishnah seinu, wherever you find Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in our Mishnayis, halacha gemayis, halacha falls like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Chutz, except mi'arif from Ariv, which is the case of the guarantor, v'tzidin, and from the salacha regarding the place of tzidin, v'raya achrayna, and the last case of the proofs, meaning which is the case, there was two cases, there was the re'iyah, the first proof, and the second proof. First one was they asked him for proof in 30 days, and he didn't bring in 30 days. That we say halacha is like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Then there's the raya achrayna, the last case regarding proof, when he says I don't have, and then he does bring. There Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says that he could bring, and on that, Rabbi Yechanan says that halacha does not follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel in that case, which therefore we can't say that in the case of Ainli, which is what Rav Dimi is saying, that it's only until he says Kirva Ish Plenya Plenya Beduni, which would sound like, but regarding Yistatim Tanoisav of Ainli, that we follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when we don't. Rabbi Yechanan said clearly in that case we don't follow Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Ella rather says the Gemara, you're right, not like Rav Dimi. Ki asked Rav Shmuel by Yehuda on Rabbi Yechanan, he said a different version in the name of Rabbi Yechanan. La'ila may be Rai B'Saiser, yes, an individual could always bring proof and overturn the verdict. Achei Statin Tanaisav, however, that's only until that he stopped his claims. V'yayimrlai, and how, what's the case of Yistatim Tanaisav? V'yayimrlai, because they tell him, Havo Eidim, bring witnesses. V'yayimr Ainli Eidim, he says, I don't have witnesses. Havo Rai, they tell him, okay, bring evidence. V'yayimr Ainli Arai, he says, I don't have evidence. That is, even if he finds it at a later point in time, he's not going to be able to turn it over. That is like Drabbanah. So you're right, in this halacha of Ainli, as we said from the other teachings in the name of Rabbi Yechanan, this other teaching of Rabbi Yechanan is saying the same thing, that we pass on like Rabbanan, not like Rav Shimon Gamliel. Avabo Eidim Medina Siyam, but if let's say witnesses come from overseas, Eishaisa Diskai Shalaviv, or if his father's sack of leather, which all his father's documents were placed over there, were Mufkedis Biyaracha, were actually deposited by someone else. So these are two things that he was not aware of because the witnesses were overseas, or this other guy had his father's satchel of documents, and then he only finds out at a later point in time, then Harizi may be right. So that's like we said before, even Rabbi Bunnan would agree, as we said from Rav Nachman, in those cases where, let's say, the child didn't know about what his father had. So although he said Ainli, but these cases, yeah, Ainli because he didn't know about it, but if we know that it came from somewhere that he was unaware, then even Rabbi Bunnan would agree that this would be the halacha of Rabbi Yechanan saying that he could bring proof and undo the verdict. But it's Rabbi Yechanan passing like Drabban. Another teaching, Ki Asr Rabdimi Om Rabbi Yechanan, the Rabdimi came and said over the name of Rabbi Yechanan, Hatekif es Chaveir Bedin. If someone is being a difficult litigant, and he's making it very difficult for the person that he's having a court case with. Now, one of them says, let's go to court over here. And the other one doesn't want to have the court case over here. Rather, he says, let's go to the place of the assembly where there's many Talmudic scholars over there, and he wants to, because he wants his litigant who's being very difficult to be embarrassed over there. So says Rabbi Yechanan, so we force him and he has to go to the place of the assembly. On that, asked the Gemara, Amalaf on the Rebbe Lazar. Rebbe Lazar said to Rav Dimi, Rebbe, my teacher, Misha Neisha Bechaveri Mana. If someone is trying to collect from his friend 100 zuz, Yeti Mana Mana, now he has to spend traveling expenses and lodging 100 zuz to collect 100 zuz, how can you say that they force him to have to go to the Beis Avad? Rather, to the contrary, they force the other litigant to have the court case in the city, and they don't make him to go to the Beis Avad. It manam istotu, we learned Amar of Safra, like the way Rabbi Loza said it. Shnaim shenas atzmo bedin. If you have two people that are being very difficult in their court case, echarem in nidin kan. One says, let's judge it over here. Echarem in echel makam avad. The other one says, let's go to the place of assembly, which is further away. Kaifin nice be done, but even though we force the guys and they have to do it there in their city where they are, you don't have to go far away. And v'mhutzok davalishal, and if it's something they have to ask from the Beis Avad, which there's a lot of time in the Chum and there is a lot of clarity, so then Kais from Shulchan. So they write and they send the letter, but they don't force the litigants. He can't force the other one to go to the Beis Avad. Moreover, Vim Amar, if let's say he says, Kisvu utnuli, I want you to write and give to me. Me'ezutam dantuni, what's the reasoning for your rationale for the way you judged me? So Kaisvim nicely, so they're also the same idea. We write him and give it to him, but again, we don't force that person to go to the Beis Avad. Now, regarding making someone go somewhere, Fahayivama hailechas achar yavam latir. However, the Yavama, when her husband dies without any children and she has to have Yibum with her brother-in-law, or Chalitza, we force her to go to where the Yavim is to permit her, which is to do Chalitza, to let her go on her way. We don't force the Yavim to go to the Yavam, we force her to go to him. Ask the Gemara Ad Kama, up until what extent? Amar Bami says, no, Filim Tveri L'Tzipari, even from Tveri to Tzipari, meaning even though she's in Tveri, which has the greater yeshiva and the courts more than Tzipari, still she has to follow to where he is, to his town of Tzipari. So Amrav Kani says, Maikar, what's the pasuk that supports this halacha? It's a pasuk in Devarim that says, V'karo le'zikne iri, which talks about the halacha of Yibam and Chalitza, says that the elders of his city call him for le'zikne iri, not the elders of her city, meaning it's to the gates of his city because she has to go to him and he doesn't have to go to her. Now Amamimimimimimimimimimimimim says, Hilchas akevin oisa, halacha is that we do force the other litigant, v'yelech le'makam avad, and he has to go where the other one wants to the place of the assembly. On that, Amalei Rav Ashi Lameimer, Rav Ashi asked Hameimer, Amalei Rav Elazar, but we already just quoted before Rav Elazar. In other words, we see Rav Elazar disagrees, and he gave a good explanation, and it's logical, his halacha, that Kaifin has ever done Be'irai, as he had disagreed with what Rav Dima said, Neimer Rav Yechanan, that we do force the person, and they have to judge in that city, and not to go to Beis Avad. How do you say that we force the person to go to Beis Avad? Oh, and that he answers, it depends. Hanemili Hecha Dukamalei Leva Lamava. That's only if the borrower tells to the lender. The borrower says, you want me to pay you money? Let's go to the Makam Avad. There we force him and he has to judge the court case over there. And although, let's say, the lender is being difficult and therefore he wants to embarrass him to take him there, we don't force the lender, although he's being difficult, to spend $100 to go to somewhere to win $100. Avol Malva, but Amemer was talking about a case when the lender says, I want to go there to the Beis Avad. There, as the pasuk says, initially, Eved Leivel Ish Malva. The borrower is a slave to the man who is the lender, and that is because since he did him the favor, he lent him the money, therefore he has to go and do as the lender pleases, and even though the borrower wants to do it here, the lender can say, no, I want to go to Beis Avad, and he has to go there to the Beis Avad. Now the Gemara brings an incident related to this halacha of making someone go to a certain court and travel. Shochli Lamar Ukva. So they sent to Mar Ukva, who he was the Av Bezdin of the people in Bavel, as the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Abdon Haim Aleph. They sent him the following note: L'deziv le'kevar visya, to the one who shines like the daughter of Bisya, meaning like Moshe Benu, who he was the daughter of Bisya, the daughter of Parai, which when we say L'deziv le is to the one whose face shines, who, like Moshe's face, it says, Urpanov, the skin of his face shone, who was brought up by Bisti, the daughter of Pari, that's how they're referring to Marukva. Or another interpretation was not Kvar Bisya, but which is Basya, the daughter of Pari, but Kvar Besei, like the household member, which refers to Moshe Rabbeinu, who is a Ben Bayis. Like the pasuk says, "Bamidbar Yudbeis," Hashem says, "B'chol Beis Nemenu," in all my house says Hashem, He's trustworthy. And when it says "L'dezivle," the one who he has this shine is because he was a chacham, a wise person, as the pasuk says in Kehelas, "Chachmas Adam Tarapanim," the wisdom of a person shines up his face. Third interpretation, Rashi actually brings from the Sefer Haggadah, that Marukva was a Baal Teshuva, which at once he had laid eyes on a certain woman, and he lusted after her, and he actually fell ill. But she was a married woman. However, it happened at some point that she needed to borrow money. And because of her situation that she was desperate for money, she was willing to submit herself to Marukva, who she had to go to borrow money from. But he subdued his inclination, and he let her go without doing anything inappropriate, and he was healed. And when they went out to the marketplace, it was like a candle lit on his head from heaven. And that's why they called him Reb Nosson Tzitzit, as the Gemara says in Shabbos, Navovim Abeis. So here also, that's why they called him, based on the light which was shining on his face, they called him L'dezivle, because he had this great shine because of his conquering his evil inclination. So they sent him, Shalom, peace. Ukvin HaBavli Kovul Kadmana. Ukvin, the Babylonian, complained in front of us. He was screaming and complaining to us that Yirmiya Achi, Hever Olayas Aderech, that Yirmiya, my brother, went beyond the road from me, which either means to say that he made me lose the Derech B'nei Adam, made me lose the way of man, which is that he castrated him, or it means that Hever Olayas Aderech, that he crossed over the road from me, meaning he's not acting appropriate to me, he's like crossing over the road, and he was complaining about some type of monetary case. So therefore, they were sending to Marukva the Imrulai, and therefore tell Yirmiya to appease his brother who he had done wrong to. He see Uhu v'yira panenu b'Tveria. Force him and make him come to us, to our courts here in Tveria. So they were sending a letter from Eretz Yisrael in Tveria to Marukva, who was in Bavel. Now the Gemara asks, Hagufa Kasha, is an internal contradiction in what they were telling him. Amrit, you say Imrulai, that you should tell him. Obviously, they would tell Marukva, you judge that brother. But then they said, force him and make him come to us in our court here in Tveria. Obviously, they're telling him that they should send him here. So which one? Do they want him to judge him over there, or to send that Babylonian to come here to Israel to court to his brother? So El Rather says, this is what they were saying. Imru le, you tell him, meaning dainu atun, you judge. Itzayis, if he listens, he listens, and you'll be able to do it effectively to the Babylonian where you are in Babel. But Vilai, if he doesn't listen, he see you over here, Panem Betveria, then force him and make him come to our court here in Tveria. Or another interpretation of Ashiyam, he says, actually, Dini Knosses Hava. The case that they were trying to have the brother appease his brother was talking about a law regarding the laws of penalties, which, in regarding Dina Knossos, which is anything that's not exactly the commensurate with what was done, something, let's say, is a penalty beyond, like kefil, dal vehei, certain things, there the Torah says in Shemesh Chavbei is the term elikim, which elikim is the type of judges that need to have smicha. Now, uba bavel, le'dainu Dina Knossos. In bavel, they don't judge the laws of penalty, because in bavel, they don't have smicha, as the Gemara said in the first parak, in Afi Dalam et Alf. So therefore, they were telling him, like, so therefore you have to send him to us in Tveria, where only in Eretz Yisrael do we have smicha to judge the brother in Dina Knossos. So therefore, they really meant that you should send him to us. Now, behold the Shalch Lehachi, so then why did they send first that you tell him? That was only Kedei Lach Lekoved LaMarukva, that was only to give honor and dignity to Marukva, to say that, you know, if anything, of course, you should be the one to do it. And therefore, you judge him, but really it's saying, go ahead and send him to us, because you know that in Bavel, you cannot be Dan Dina Knossos, because there's no Smicha in Bavel. And that was what they were saying regarding that letter about sending the person, that Yirmiya, the brother, to Eretz Yisrael. Hanulach Zebair, we shall return to you the third parak in Masechta Sanhedrin, parak Zebair.